during the winter, it makes winter fly by because you forget about the concept. You know, that's how I look at it when I'm in the water. I say, okay, why should I not get in the cold today because it's colder? The cold is just the concept. So when you're in the ice bath, it doesn't matter what season it is, you know? So that's another thing that you know, it's another way to, and I keep the mantra in there, you know, the idea is to get into that little, to get into that garbage can of water and ice and just keep the mantra, you know, a 5-minute mantra. And just imagine how easy it is to keep the mantra when you're doing nothing, you know, when you're just watching TV or working or whatever, you know. So it's another good tip to have, you know. Even in the showers, being the cold showers.
Being in an ice bath doesn't draw me.
Oh, no, believe me, it didn't me either, you know.
It doesn't draw me at all.
Oh, man, I understand. The coldest. I just figured I remember one of my first psychedelic trips, the mushroom took me through a very cold bardo, a very cold experience. And I figured, okay, maybe when my body dissolves for the last time, I'm going to confront cold. And I don't want to miss warm at the end of my life. I don't want to come back as something hot, you know? So I want to make sure that cold doesn't affect me, warm doesn't affect me, you know? So I think that was my initiative, you know, because I don't like the cold. I don't like it, you know. But whatever.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Jai Guru.
Hey, Jai Guru. How you doing?
Oh, Jordan, you're back. Good to see you.
Jordan.
Good to see you, John. It's been a bit.
How are you? Back.
Good, good. How about yourself?
I'm doing better. I'm doing well.
Good, I'm good.
Glad to be here.
Good, good.
Oh.
What have I missed?
Nothing.
Nothing. As Guruji would say, nothing
happened. I know exactly what you're saying. I just want it. I just needed to be sure. The story of Jordan, just I the ego doesn't want to miss anything, you know?
Yeah.
Just like it was the last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking about nothing going on now 4 years almost.
How sweet it is. So, John, would you say is it fair to say that selfless self or presence makes all things possible, but what is possible is not real, only presence is real?
Even presence, because presence is only known once you're in the illusory world. So presence itself is untrue, but that's the closest you can get to truth while in the illusion.
I mean, it's still a word for whatever, what is or what is or isn't.
Indeed, but the sense of presence is the birth of duality. Because I can sense this presence, but that's my own self. And there's a concept of separation because of the body-based delusion. I sense presence. In reality, none of that is true. All of the presence that is felt, presence is there. That's all there is. But when it's felt or known, that is can only be done in the illusory world. It's kind of the last precipice before reality. And that's why as you sit there and it gets more and more and more subtle, as Maharaj says, the deeper and deeper and deeper you get with your selfless self, the happiness, the joy, everything arises because there's a knowingness that there, you're there. And there's a sense of presence. And even this appearance of presence is an illusion. And yet that to whom that presence appeared is not illusion and cannot not be. It's like the start, the background. Like you said, the background where all experience happens, the presence where all experience appears upon your spontaneous presence. And that's why Maharaj says there's no experience, no experiencer. Because from that point of understanding of I am experiencing presence, or I know this presence, or I am the knower of presence, there's nothing. There's no experience because the only thing that you're experiencing is the presence. And that itself is within the body-based illusion, but the experiencer in that position of, oh, so that I am that. You're more subtle than sky. Like Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare, you compare yourself to sky or space. You know sky and space, so you're not that. But that's very, very subtle. The space in the room, you know, because of an object in, that you appear to be within the room. So therefore, you know space. Prior to possessing the body, you wouldn't have known space because there was nothing other than space to know. And now there's a sense of presence because, oh, I exist. And seemingly there's a world in which I exist in. And mom and dad and school and job and all these sort of things are happening. But I know myself in a real sense. All this is taking place inside the space. And the only reason I'm experiencing it is because of my identification with an object within the space that's seeing other objects within the space, and the sense of separation is there. But the knowingness, without anything to know, is the eternal that is always there. There's no knowingness, no non-knowingness. Oh, Jordan, yeah, you don't have to raise hand. You can just interrupt anytime because there's...
All right, how do I lower this? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out too.
All right. I'm not that good at Zoom.
It's all good.
Even though I'm on it for work all the time, which I should be better at. But so like on that same thing Keith was saying and what you're pointing at, John, what that nothing, I mean, knows every night in deep sleep, like the absence of presence of that, like I am. And I see that deeply right now. Like that's completely evident. And I guess the questions that arise like are based further off that, like the brain wants a reason why, like why Jordan or why John and why this object that keeps arising. And when that food body is done, will another arise or is this the end? And it's seeing through that completely, as in like, I feel like when I've read Selfless Self, like sometimes this notion comes up or I get this impression from Maharaj. He's like, he's pointing at like this cycle has been happening, but really getting to the end of this and being completely, you know, seeing through completely and to your true nature is like the end of that cycle of whatever that idea of rebirth. And I don't know where I'm kind of, I don't know if that makes sense as a question or what, if you got a response for that.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's when you lay down and sleep at night, it's formlessness that creates a form world and a dreamer within the form world that's seeing this. And then the imagining happens because of identification with the form. Logic, mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. So logically saying, why is Jordan happening? Why am I experiencing Jordan? What created this concept of the experience of Jordan? It's a spontaneous, it's just like you lay down a dream tonight and you happen to take the form of a dream character and you were there. And for a time, especially because dream time kind of is different than waking time, for a time, there's a belief that you're a form moving around doing various things. When you wake up, you know that's not true. You say, oh, I had a very good dream, or I had a very bad dream. And in reality, none of this is occurring. So there's nothing. This is a projection only because of the sense I exist created an imagination. An imagination that created all these things, an explosion of somethingness within the nothing. So after leaving the body, what is there? The same that was there prior to the body. And that's there now, that you are. You have never become Jordan. Just as when you lay down in a dream, and you formlessly create a dream world and you create a character within the dream, you are not that character. And the realization after the dream of, you know, it might be feeling very, very real. But after you wake up, you know, no matter what kind of interaction was happening, no matter what kind of storyline was being projected, no matter what actions may have been occurring, it was all your own self. And none of it was true.
Can you say that the bliss is involved in seeing that truth of what you are? I mean,
there's bliss because there's no disturbance of anything. You no longer are listening or carrying along with the mind and the thoughts about the illusory world, believing that there's something.
Is that comfort, you know, in a sense of, when I'm in a sense of bliss, it's just like, it's own thing. It's satisfied with just being itself. And it seems, you know, I can't deny it, or it doesn't make sense to propose that it is anything. It just, it's just kind of, it's there and it's nice.
The bliss, you could say, is a breadcrumb to your own self, to keep the mind, as Maharaj says, the selfless self-intoxication, so that you continue this journey inward. Of course, there's no inward, there's no outward. But in the illusory world, you're looking out, trying to gain experience, to gain happiness, to gain peace, to gain something, fearless life, all this sort of thing. So this bliss is a breadcrumb back to your own self that will unwind and remove the layers of presence, the different layers that have appeared on presence. And then presence itself is removed. So you could say it's kind of a treat for the dog, so to speak. You know, you give the dog a treat and it's going to be very happy with the treat and want to do more same things to get more treats. And the same thing that your mind now, this bliss, this feeling of presence, this just I, is so nice. And it's basically training this mind to want nothing more. Go ahead.
Sort of forgot what I was going to say.
That's good, actually.
So,
because every question is a doubt about your formlessness. So every time you raise a question, you're posing yourself as someone or something, because no question can be about your own self. And that's how you get rid of these questions. The more questions you ask, the answer is always the same. you are that. No matter what question you ask, the answer is always the same. You are that.
That which can't be described or...
Correct. Which is formless, timeless, spaceless. So anytime a question is formed, there's a questioner being formed, but the questioner is actually formless. So the answer to the question is the questioner, the formless questioner that has no questions. You are formless, and every question, every doubt is just a doubt about your formless nature.
Yeah, I mean, I can get a sense of that, you know, nothingness, and because you just can't describe it or explain what it is, but it's here or something.
Well, even the nothingness, again, from the point of view of a body mind, there's an experience of nothingness. And we call that bliss because we're no longer troubled by thoughts. But in reality, it's not that.
My mind still wants to claim.
There's no mind. And the mind only wants something if you give power to it. If you starve out the mind, meaning I don't chase every little thought that comes along, then I'm not supplying power to the mind anymore.
Yeah, I can be satisfied with that too. But
this, you know, I needs to be removed. And then there will be satisfaction, because there'll be nothing disturbing the satisfaction. It's only when I am or I exist that there's a disturbance.
And it's almost like it can get more peaceful than it is right now or something.
Well, this I is the entire world and all of existence. When you say I, that's what you're real. That's the truth. So that's why when you say when I die, does that mean the end of all existence everywhere, the entire universe? Because that's what that I is. It's only when we limit the identification with the I by saying, I am this body, I am someone, or I am someone trying to find out that I am the universe, rather than just knowing, okay, this is all there is. There's, and then the concept, see, only birth and death and all that is from the individualized sense of I am something that can die and can be born. But I, just think about when you say I, you're saying all of existence. You're not saying Keith. So even then you have to ask a question when you say, well, what happens when Keith dies? Well, Keith is an object within your own self. And how does that affect you? It's only when I say I as me that then their trouble begins. I is the universe. I is everything. Which is nothing, because this I is a very peaceful I until it knows I am. And then suddenly there's a knowingness, I am. And what do I know I am? I know I am because of this body form. I say, oh.
Then I can question.
I'm here. And then mom and dad tell me that I'm John. And then again, John does good things. John does bad things. Good job, John. Egoistic sense of I am the doer happens. I do good things. I do bad things. I start keeping a ledger. But there's no ledger. Because in reality, it's just like tonight in a dream, you have actions and reactions. And if you kept the ledger and you woke up and you said, oh, I need to atone for these sins I committed in my dream.
So when you know yourself in a real sense, do you still know anything at all? In a way, no, yes, no.
There's, when you say you know nothing, that is not exact. I mean, of course, you're doing your job, you're doing your duties, you're here, you're using this form body, but you're no longer believing yourself to be limited to that form. And when you interact with other people, so to speak, you know it's just the same as in a dream. Okay, there's an interaction going on. I don't take it so seriously. You know, it's like, okay, there's an interaction going on, and there's a job going on. And believe me, on the first of the month or whatever, you pay your rent or your mortgage or whatever, you need to do that, because you can't just say, oh, I'm formless, I'm the whole universe. So no, because within this dream, just as in your own dream, that's when the cause and effect, action and reaction takes place. But it's not so, you don't take the touch of these things. You know yourself in a real sense. You don't have a mind that's pressuring you, keeping you, believing that you're a limited something. And there's not even a thought that I'm not a limited something, because there's no thinker, no dude, no doer, no deed. I said, no dude, no dude, no deed, no doer. Exactly.
All right. That needs to be copyrighted.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, dude, you are so wrong.
There's no dude, no deed, no doer. No, I is everything. Just think, every time you say, I have a question. Okay, that means the entire universe has a question. Now, what is the universe going to question itself about?
Good question.
Because the universe doesn't know it is. Just like you don't know you are until the illusory body comes along and you say, I am, I exist. Other than that, there's no knower, no knowingness, no nothing. The something that appears in the nothing is all illusion.
So you kind of, you knowing this, then like you play your part, you know, like you know, by the inner guru, like taking over. I feel like you're just, you know, I'm talking about like just in the waking dream, like the practical decisions and things like this. And that's what I suppose is just like conditioning and guidance and openness, like generally kind of leads a smooth life. And am I correct am I on the right track and think like the highest or best thing I can do for myself, for others, is to know my own self and to like continue with the mantra and see where that takes me.
Yeah. And once the conviction, go ahead.
I guess when the opportunity, I know there are times where I was not of service in my life. And like, so now I guess when the opportunity arises, like I can just take that for what it is and, you know, try to do the next right thing. And then, but know that like, that there's nothing at stake. Like, death, everything, all that fear can come, but it'll be welcomed in its time. And you know, that's the ultimate thing, right? It's like I think I'm just sniffing out I like to know what I invest my time in. And I finally feel, and I felt this year, and I really went through some stuff and in the hospital and everything, I had like, I had got the mantra like a month before, and I had selfless self with me. And because of COVID, I couldn't have visitors. And this was where the rubber kind of met the road. And I just had such a recourse. And I felt like, I never got to interact with him in form, but, through these words, it's just so clear. And, I wish I'd come on here more, and I want to start doing that. But, you know, to me, it's like I almost have to say that out loud to begin practicing it more, because it comes up a lot in times of distress for me. It just comes up naturally, and I go to that, and usually a solution will come if I wait and stay in that. Like when I just think time gets filled, and I just need to remember that, you know, what my ultimate goal is here and what makes me happiest, because those objective things I'm chasing to please Jordan are some of those addictions and some of those things that I think what Keith and I, you know, what you guys were just talking about, like if I pause that whole search and be I just this, you know, then there's no problems, and that satisfaction is basically there, like that sense of relief, I think. And so I'm just trying to trust that more. And I guess kind of like, I don't articulate that for myself. If that makes sense to you guys.
Absolutely. Being taught by your inner master is basically, like you said, remaining, being still with your own selfless self. Mantra erases the illusory thoughts and all the different various things that are appearing on presence and allows you to just be, and you be with you always. And then the inner master teaches you, because all of this thing is happening in the world, it's seemingly kind of troubling, I remain with my selfless self. The master answers the question through the depth of silence. It's like a black hole that's just like, it brings everything collapsing. And there's no troubles. There's no time. Nothing is there. These experiences in the hospital are beautiful. I had the food poisoning in India, in which there were two roads. I could have gone to the way of saying, food poisoning, this is very terrible. But instead, Maharaj had given mantra, and I put all my eggs in the mantra basket, and it was worth it. Because I went through that whole thing, no experience, no experiencer, just I. Going to the foreign hospital and putting the IV, just die. Maharaj left me there for a little bit of time. Not beating on him. He just had to go and do something. But I'm all alone. But I wasn't alone because Master was there with me. I remained with mantra, remained with selfless self. And it's like I heard about talking ice bath. Well, this is the presence that you can just sort of get in the bath with the presence. And it's almost like a little bird that's in a bird bath. Just, yes, presence. Just here. No matter what's happening out there, this is the answer. I remain with myself, with self. Allow the world to come and go. Master says that it's illusory world, so why am I going to take the touch? Instead, I want to turn towards the master. And as I've spoken about before, Maharaj is closer than he ever was before, because you'd have to get in a plane and go to India and all this. Now, you just have to close your eyes, spend a little time with your own self. And there's Maharaj. Because that presence knew itself as presence as it was speaking through Maharaj. It absolutely knew, I am not body, it was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. And then the speaking was happening through that body form. It's happening now, but there's a little identification that different folks have of, I'm doing some speaking. The reality is Maharaj, the Sadguru, whatever you want to say, is speaking through all the body forms. And because the entire world is illusion, any thoughts, ideas, or beliefs I have about myself are projected. As Maharaj says, the spirit's very sensitive. What it senses, it projects. It grabs. So if I truly know myself in a real sense, and I go through these experiences, I live like a master, I live like Brahman. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain my body, except myself, the self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatma, no master, nothing is there. And now I'm living this way. And by living this way, I mean in this moment, whatever needs to be done, I do it, but I know there's nothing being done. A doctor comes in and tells me, hey, we have to do some surgery, we have to do this, we have to do that. Nothing is being done. I remain with my selfless self because this is an opportunity to really deeply know myself. Because if I'm identified in the limited sense of something that can happen to me, I'll know this. That's why Maharaj says, where do you stand right now? You check in. Okay. Because when the time comes to leave the body, it should be, you shouldn't even really know. Like, there's just like, okay, the presence, 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 no presence. And what is there?
It's like you're given the moment consciousness awakens in this form. You're given a script, you know, and you get so infatuated with this script, this I am, this virus, this thing, that this being, that you forget about that moment. Maybe years later, that moment in which you received the script, you know, and I was listening to an actor talk about that, how he received this script that changed his life, and he couldn't remember who he was before he had received this script that made him this Hollywood star. And I think we're just all infatuated, identified with a lot of passion with this script that we were giving at 3 years old, 4 years old. And he was talking about how difficult it was for him just to get back to this, to the state before he was a millionaire or whatever he was talking about. But I think that's very, very similar to what we do, you know? But like Nisargadatta always said, find it, go in, dig, get back to when you were 3 years old, when you first looked down and saw your feet and said, oh, those are feet. Oh, that's a tree, you know, and when everything was everything and you were, and I think that has something to what Jordan was saying, you know, not identifying yourself with that script no more, just observing it. It comes with the sickness. It comes with the cure already. It comes with what's going to happen tomorrow already, you know, and we shouldn't identify ourselves with a script, you know, where all those things emerge from, you know, without a doubt. So, but it must be hard to not identify yourself with a beautiful story, no matter how bad it is, you know. I don't know if that made sense.
That's sort of what I meant at the beginning. The first thing I brought up was the script is all possibility when the actuality is not there in the realm of possibility.
But understand, nothing's happening as far as your own self is concerned. So everything is just kind of just five elemental play. You know, this goo lumps together, there's more food eaten, the goo grows, and there's identification with the goo, as this is me, and I'm growing, I am aging. But when you look in the mirror, that one that looked in the mirror when you were very, very small and just starting to know that you're something separate, to right now, today, is the same. It's unchanging. You're formless. The body is going to age and eventually is going to perish, but the formlessness goes nowhere. And that's best described laying down at night. You can say, this body is laying down, and suddenly then there's another body in a dream. Well, of course, the dream world is projected formlessly. We can say through consciousness, through presence, through the understanding that you exist, whatever you want to say, it explodes and then suddenly it's populated. But you absolutely know once you wake up that that entire dream, no matter how real it appeared at the time, no matter what activities were going on, no matter what kind of relationships you had within that dream, they never were. Otherwise, I mean, you could say you're murdering millions of people every night. Because